Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
There were just about 6 months to go until the New Hampshire presidential primary, the first in the nation. But the crowded Democratic field may be a whole lot smaller come next month, when the next presidential debates dramatically raise the bar to entry. That's mostly good news to WBUR's panel of New Hampshire Democratic voters, who say after the first two rounds of debates, it's time to call the field. We spoke with them last night at St. Anselm College in Manchester, New Hampshire. Eva Castillo, immigrant advocate from Manchester, Josh Denton, Portsmouth, New Hampshire city councilor and Iraq war vet, Al Cantor from Concord, New Hampshire. He's a self-employed consultant to nonprofits, and New Hampshire State Senator Melanie Levesque, a telecom consultant who lives in Brookline, New Hampshire. Welcome to all of you. Al, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Same to you, Josh.
Glad to be here.
Melanie?
Thanks for having me.
And Eva?
Thank you.
Let me ask this. On the first night of the debate this week, Tuesday night, we saw more moderate centrist candidates like John Delaney of Maryland and John Hickenlooper of Colorado make a case against the progressive frontrunners Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Who came out on top?
This is Al. My issue with the argument put forth by Delaney and Hickenlooper was, first of all, it didn't provide context. So immediately they went to the cost of the new health plan and people losing their private health insurance, instead of painting the issue, which I think is the critical issue, which is that the Republicans are trying to take health care away from people who have it. And I also am kind of struck. I think, you know, the more progressive voices carried the day on that argument. I think we have to really think about this line that people love their private insurance. I don't know anyone who loves their health insurance company. They're relieved that they have health insurance because a lot of us don't.
This is Melanie. I think Elizabeth Warren was also very strong, but I also feel like John Delaney was misunderstood because he's so practical. You know, there is that struggle between people who are moderate and more progressive. I have not forgotten the battles that we went through just to get the Affordable Care Act through, how we weren't able to get a public option, which would have been very helpful to so many people. But, you know, we have a divided government, and when you have a divided government, you don't always get everything that you want. And unfortunately, it has to be more incremental, and you have to bring people along with you.
This is Josh, and I would agree with everything that Melanie just said. However, we shouldn't be negotiating with ourselves. When we passed Obamacare, it was a Democrat in the White House and a Democrat-controlled Congress, and we were negotiating with ourselves regarding the single-payer option. And I think we need to start bold, and I wholeheartedly agree. We're not going to get there right away, but we need to start big. We can't start in the middle and then move further away from what we want. We need to start with what we want and then see what the compromise is that we get.
Senator Sanders and Warren are calling for Medicare for all with no private option, getting rid of insurance companies. While taxes will be raised on the middle class, they say this will be completely offset by savings on current private insurance and medical costs, savings in medical costs. Critics say it's pie in the sky.
Well, I have to say, it's hard for me to imagine a worse conglomeration of a system than what we have right now. So I think we should aim for universal coverage. I think we should aim for giving people the public option. And I do agree that the insurance companies, when Elizabeth Warren talked about the billions and billions that are taken out every year in profit, that drives costs up. And I think we should recognize that.
In the moderate attack on progressives regarding Medicare for all and free college for all, critics say that pursuing those plans, putting fear in Americans over the future of health care in particular, is like handing Donald Trump the 2020 election. Does anyone here share that concern?
I disagree. This is a matter of priorities, too. Mm-hmm. In a third world country where I come from, Venezuela, we have free tuition for all the colleges there. We have private colleges, but all the state colleges are free. So it is just a matter of priorities where we invest our dollars, and that's what we're saying, defund hate, invest in love.
So I used the GI Bill to go to law school, the portion of it which I qualified for, and I still pay around $900 a month in student loan repayments. So we can't do anything about it unless we have the conversation, and we can't have the conversation unless the nominee's talking about it.
Al, when you sat down with us back in April, you worried about the integrity of our governmental systems and that the balance between the rich and the powerful in society and everybody else is out of whack. Given that you've had several months to listen to all the candidates, I'm wondering which candidate do you see now as best suited to addressing this concern of yours?
That's a really good question. I think the person who's tackling it head on is Elizabeth Warren. She talks about corruption. She talks about the problems with the funding of politics. She talks about the power of the banks. She talks about the power of the big tech companies. And she talks about how the impact that has on the average people.
Eva, last time around you said immigration was your biggest priority. Should we, Eva, extend health care to undocumented immigrants, migrants?
If they are living in this country, I agree. I think so, because every person that lives here contributes to this economy and this society.
Should we decriminalize illegal border crossings?
Definitely, yes.
Josh, climate change and scaling back our involvement in foreign wars, you said were both important to you. Does anyone today stand out as well equipped to take on both of those issues?
So I'll give the same response I gave last time, which is Washington Governor Jay Inslee. He's one of the only candidates who actually has a track record on climate change. As governor, he's been pushing all these innovative ideas. And then when it comes to pulling back from foreign interventions, again, Jay Inslee, as a member of Congress in 2003, did not vote for the Iraq War. Well, you have other people who were in Congress back then, like Vice President Biden did.
So let me come to a bottom line on Biden, if I can, for a moment. He is still considered the front runner in the field, but has he delivered the goods yet? Has he proven he can stand on the same stage as Donald Trump and handle Trump?
No way.
I don't think so.
I don't think he'll be on the stage with Donald Trump.
Well, it remains to be seen.
Big picture, are we seeing an existential fight between the centrists and the progressives playing out in real time that could lead to real change for the party?
That's what primaries are for.
I think Josh is right. You know, we have to have this intramural conversation, and then we need to unite behind whoever's there.
Yes.
And
yes,
I would hope that whoever the nominee is will be savvy and thoughtful enough to incorporate the ideas of both sides or of all sides.
Well, thanks for another very enjoyable conversation. Appreciate that you all came out tonight. Josh, we'll see you again, I hope.
I hope so, too.
Melanie, thank you.
Thank you.
Eva, thank you.
Thank you.
And Al, same to you.
Thanks so much, Bob.